Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Hear the reading of God's word from Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For the good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter into that rest, as he said, I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, he has somewhere spoken of a seventh day in this way, that God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. And since therefore it remains for some to enter it, those who formerly received good news failed to enter because of disobedience. And again he appoints a certain day. Today, he says, through David, as long after, in the words quoted, already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, since no one may, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed in the eyes to whom we must give an account. So ends the reading of God's word. Let us take our Bibles and let us turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. That's the sixth book in the Hebrew Bible, Joshua chapter 1. In verse 1, which will be found on page 178. Hear the reading of God's inspired word. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites. To the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all your days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit this land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have success to wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So ends the reading of God's Word. You know, as I was with you last week, I encouraged you about reading the Bible, and so I started doing the same thing myself, and I came across this passage in Joshua. It's always been one of my favorite passages ever since I was a youth. You know, on the way in, you might have seen this plaque that has a picture of a honeybee that has this saying on it, "Be strong and courageous." My daughter Hannah gave that to me, and oftentimes you don't have it very often that you have a gift that appeals to three things that you like. You know, like a little bit of humor, and a little bit of beekeeping, and a little bit of the scriptures. But yet, God has given us these things. You know, when I was a youth, I either bought a package of cards as a scripture memory, or else I had one given to me. I don't remember now anymore. But I remember this, that I remember memorizing this passage in Joshua. Be strong and courageous. You see, I didn't grow up in a Reformed church. In a Reformed church, oftentimes the kids are required to memorize the scriptures, to memorize the Heidelberg Catechism. Well, we didn't have that, and so oftentimes, maybe you did it on your own, or you might have a club, you know, like the that we have here, or other ways. But anyway, I memorized this passage of Scripture, and I always found comfort and encouragement in it. And I think the reason why is because one of the main ways that God seeks to deal with is something that Satan seeks to deal with in our life. He seeks to discourage us. You know, one of the things that I did in one of my catechism classes up in Harriet is I had the kids sing that song that we just sang from Psalm 1, because that was to help them learn the Psalms. And as I was reading this passage again, it came across to this, that we just get discouraged, and Satan seeks to frustrate the plans of God in our life, so we become discouraged. We become discouraged in the sin of our own life. We become discouraged in the sin of others. We become discouraged in the church of the Lord. We become discouraged because of the path we need to walk. And we can easily slip to the right or to the left, not to the middle of the promises and teaching of God. You see, one of the first things that God comes to Joshua is that He gives him a commission. And He says to them that every soul, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have promised to give you. From this wilderness, and He's speaking about where they're at right now, they're on the other side of the Jordan. They're coming out of the wilderness. To this Lebanon, which is north. To this great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites. To the great sea, that's the Mediterranean. And toward the going down to the sun shall be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so also I will be with you. You remember Joshua, right? Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land to spy it out right after they had left Egypt. Joshua and Caleb went with some 10 spies. We don't know the names of the other ones, as far as I remember. But Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, yes, this is a good land. Yes, God will give it to us. But the other 10 said, nope, it is a good land, but man, we don't have the strength. They didn't have the faith is what it is. They didn't have the faith to look to God in these trials. And thus the plans of God for His nation, the people of Israel, were delayed. Delayed, but never stopped. Because the faithfulness of God always causes His work to continue in our life, in spite of our lack of faithfulness, or in spite of the lack of faithfulness of others. You know, from one of the things that we can discern from Scripture is that we can discern that Joshua was 19 at the time that he crossed the Red Sea. And when he was 20, he went in and he spied out the land. And yet because of their disobedience and stuff like that, God said that everybody that was in that nation from 20 years and above would die in the wilderness. And He says, except for Caleb. He doesn't even mention Joshua. We find out from the rest of Scriptures that Caleb was 40 years of age when he came into the promised land and they spied out the land. 40 years of age. Joshua wasn't mentioned as needing an exception. Why? Because he was 19 when he went through. Or at least. And yet, when he goes into the land, he has to be 20. Why? Because that's how old you had to be to serve in the military. And after 5 years of fighting, they conquer the land of Palestine. We know this, how long it took, because it was Caleb was 40. And then he spent 40 years in the backside of the desert. And then he would come into Joshua 14, and he says, Caleb says this, now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as He said, these 45 years, since the time that the Lord spoke to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. Behold, I am this day 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war, for going and coming. You see, one of the things that we can conclude from this passage, that even if God's plans are delayed for us because of the actions of others, He can give us the strength and the help to accomplish things that He has for us to finish. No matter what you're doing in life, God has a plan for each one of us. And when we have accomplished all that God has wanted us to accomplish, then the end comes. And if our job is not done yet, then God continues to give us strength as He did with Caleb. And we find out later that Joshua would live to be 110. God is sovereign in this world. We do not needlessly run into any danger, but we can be encouraged that God has a plan for us, just as He had a plan for Joshua. And He told Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. This promise was fully implemented, fully with Joshua. God provided for their needs even during the time of conquest. The people of God need to be reminded, just as well as we do, that this promise applies to them, but it also applies to you and me. How do we know this? We know it because of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Keep your life, beloved, from the love of money. That is, don't covet. Don't worry about others. Keep your focus upon the Lord. Remember that He will provide for you. Let the whole manner of your life be without worry about finances or about what will happen in this world or what will happen to you. Some worry about money so much that they delay having kids ever. Why? Because I don't know if I'll be able to afford them. Rather than focusing upon God, that He says that I will be with you. I will never forsake you. Some worry about finances so much that they never give to the ministry of the Lord, even a dollar. Don't make the same mistake that others have done, not being willing to give, even if it's a small amount. Teach your children, even as a young age, to give unto the Lord so that they learn that early. Because that lesson sometimes is harder to learn when you're older. I know. Joshua also is commanded by God to be strong and courageous. You know, if you start tracing it through the Bible, you will find that He tells him that 8 to 10 times. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in the book of Joshua. Be strong. Sometimes He says that be strong and courageous. Or just be strong. Or be very courageous. Be very strong. God commands Joshua to do this. You know, when I'm asked to preach for you guys, one of the things that I immediately do is I go to God to ask Him what passage to cover, or what should I cover in this sermon. What do the people of God need? You know, I don't know you like God knows you. But I trust God that He'll lead me to the passage that'll benefit you and that benefits your walk. And so then after that, I press on in confidence, trusting God that He will guide me to write a sermon to preach for you. God commands us to be strong and courageous. This is something that we mentally do, that no matter what happens to us, God's plan for our life will be accomplished. We need to be bold. We need to press on. Do your work for the glory of God. No matter what you're doing, do it for God. Again, the Heidelberg Catechism speaks about this in this way. It says, what does it profit us that God created and by His providence upholds all things, that we may be faithful in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for what is the future, have good confidence in our faithful God and Savior. You see, that is what that is, that being bold and being confident in God is being strong and courageous. You look at the sovereignty of God. You see, the Reformed faith, the Reformed Christian has the ability to look at even the most difficult of dealings that we have, and we can be strong in God and in the confidence that God has called us to. Why? Because we have a God who's sovereign in the affairs of men. We do not have a God who has to wait for us to be faithful. But we have a God who is willing to help us and will not separate us from His love, since all creatures are in His hand, that without His power they cannot even move. I thought about some illustrations about how to give you an idea about people becoming strong and courageous. And you can find that in many places in history. Just recently I watched a portion of a movie with my family about Britain facing its darkest hour, when its troops had to be rescued from an evacuation from Dunkirk on June 4th, Churchill reported to the House of Commons, seeking to check the national mood of their euphoria because they had just rescued over 300,000 men from certain destruction and brought them back over with many bullets. And yet he needed to check that mood and relieve the and prepare the people of England for a possible invasion, in a clear appeal to the United States. In his speech he says, "Even though large tracts of Europe and many of old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag, we or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and on the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight in the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields, in the streets. We will fight in the hills. We shall never surrender, even if I do not for a moment believe that this island or a large portion of it should be subjected and starving. That our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, we could carry on the struggle until in God's good time the new world in all its power and might steps forth to rescue and liberate of the old." It changed the whole attitude of the war. But if we were looking for another example of strong and courageous, we need to look no further than our football team. You know, some days our football team is strong and courageous, and we're honored even when they lose because they look good. And yet, there's other times that they lose that strong courageousness and they end up looking terrible. You see, that's what happens when a person loses their strong and courageousness. They focus upon other things. Our strength and our confidence is not in just our attitude, but our strength and confidence is in our God, and because of what He has done for us, that we can be strong and courageous, not only in battle, but in the obedience and the study of God's Word. God makes it clear to Joshua that the secret of his success will not be found in just merely confidence that he draws up, but it's confidence in this, that he follows the law of God. God tells him, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in. For then you shall find your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." That is to be constantly, he calls them to be constantly thinking about the Word of God. Now for Joshua, that was the first five books of the Old Testament. And for us, it's the entire Bible. That it needs to be thought about, to reread, to be reread, to think about in our lives, because we oftentimes forget. Our way of being prosperous and good success is our living a Christian life. It doesn't necessarily mean that, hey, we're going to be rich, or hey, we're going to have all these things. No, it is seeking God and asking God just for strength to live according to that word, and pressing on in confidence that the Lord is your helper. Joshua told his success would be found very, if he was very careful to obey every part, every little detail. You know, Christians, we are saved by faith. And the way this happens is that God takes the perfect righteousness of Christ and He puts it on our account. And He declares us not guilty. Yet, we are also being saved from our unrighteous life. God is calling us to be righteous, just as He is righteous, to be sanctified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23 through 27, it says, I do all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that all in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run that you may obtain it. Every athlete that exercises self-control in all things, and they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So do not run aimlessly. Do not box as one beating the air, but discipline my body and But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others that I myself should be disqualified. You see, it's a call to holiness. Paul, speaking of that same run towards sanctification, says this, not that I've already attained it or become perfect, but I press on and make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that lie behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Brothers, join me in imitating and keeping our eyes on those who walk according to this example. You see, Joshua, he was saved from the bondage of Egypt. And the experience, as 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, a baptism by going through the Red Sea. And yet, he was also called to be faithful to God. And as they go in, they conquer this promised land that was given to them. And yet, as you read through the book of Joshua, think about your own life, because oftentimes the trials that Joshua has, that the trials that we have as we seek to go to that promised land that God has called us to in heaven. We're on this pilgrimage right now, and we have battles to fight, not only within our own hearts, maybe others have caused battles or difficulties in our life. But God calls you and says the way that you're going to be successful is that you follow the Word of God. You see, Joshua is kind of like a type of Christ, leading the church to conquer. And Jesus is leading us to conquer and go into the promised land with Him. The success that we are called to is to be like Christ in everything, in all the communicable attributes. That means you're going to be perfect before God, is what He calls you to. Yet we know in because of our own sin nature, how much far we fall from that. And yet we seek God's grace and God's power when we realize and are convicted. You will face many spiritual foes as you seek to walk a Christian life. Just as Joshua faced physical foes, you will also face that foe. But notice the teaching of Scripture says to Joshua, we're not to depart to the left or to the right, right down the middle, right down the teaching of Scripture. The Trinity, like that, is the teaching right down the middle. You know, sometimes people, they seek to go to the left and they end up with three gods. Or they seek to go the other way, to the right too far, and they end up with that there's no Father, or there's no Son or Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Antichrist. We go right down and continue to follow that. or with regards to calling people to faith. If we go one way, we make it all the decision of man. If you only believe, then you'll be saved. And yet if we go down the other line, we might go down that line of basically saying, it's all up to God, what does it matter what I do? But no, God calls us to call people to faith in Him, to preach the Word of God, to preach that they need to turn from their sin. And I ask you today, have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you called upon Him to save you from your sins? Have you turned to Him and called to Him and found your salvation is in Christ and Christ alone? You see, God doesn't grade on a curve. He expects you to come to Him just like Adam and Eve was to come to Him, because He doesn't regard your sinful nature is something that has changed how He treats you. He still calls you to faith. He still calls you to repentance. We were made in Adam, and this promise, this trust, is given to us in baptism and also in the Word of God. So if you want to be successful in your Christian life, that might even spill over in your life of living, spend time reading and rereading the Word of God. One of the ways that you can learn the Scriptures is maybe go to like a commentary of Calvin, where he basically takes the four books of the Torah and he seeks to lay down, okay, this law falls under the moral law, this law falls under the ceremonial law, and this law falls under the judicial law. And so he went and he categorized every section in the Old Testament. I would encourage you to read through his commentary, because there's not really an outline of it. That you would seek to study that word that was given even in those first books that are given in the Bible. Because if you're just listening to them, say on tape, you'll hear it and you'll think, well, didn't I hear that before? Because it was repeated. Because God repeated it to them. And yet He repeated this confidence or this statement at least almost up to 9 times. Be bold, be strong, be courageous. Follow Him. Apply that to your life. Whatever God calls you to do, whether it is doing teaching a Sunday school or teaching of a sermon, or if you're going and maybe mending books or doing a variety of other things. But far more important than all these other things we deal with, it's the thing to make sure that we are exactly following the Word of God in all that we do. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we realize that as we look upon Your Word, how oftentimes we become weak. We get worn out, God. We get discouraged with ourselves or with others. And we think, why do I even bother? And yet, God, You have come to encourage us, just as You come to encourage Joshua. Perhaps he was down at this time after losing a dear friend, a confidant, one whom he walked with throughout life. And yet God called him to be bold and to be courageous, to press on. Lord, help us to press on in this life, that we might be honoring to You in all that You've called us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.